This hour brought to you by GCNLife.com. Live younger, look younger, feel younger at GCNLife.com.
Kate Delaney, welcome to this hour of the show. So what's the latest with the Prez? A lot of things are happening via Twitter and elsewhere, but one of the big things is, how about this? This is pretty interesting, what's happening with the Labor Secretary. So there are calls for resignation, and that's Labor Secretary Alex Acosta. And on Wednesday, he defended his handling of the sex trafficking case involving the now-jailed financier Jeffrey Epstein, insisting he got the toughest deal he could get at the time. So now what? What does that mean? And does he have the support of the president or not? I think the idea that at this news conference, he had to retrace the steps that the feds took in the case where he was the U.S. attorney for the Southern District of Florida a decade ago. And he said, in our heart, we were trying to do the right thing for the victims. He said prosecutors were working to avoid a more lenient arrangement that would have allowed Epstein to just completely walk free. So we believe that we proceeded appropriately. And he said, you know, you can challenge it, but this is what we could do. And it just ignited everything that happened with the federal prosecutors in New York, because they have a new round of child sex trafficking charges against the hedge fund manager. And now, even on Wednesday, a new accuser stepped forward to say that he raped her in his New York mansion when she was 15. You know, so I just can't see. They have so much evidence on him. That's why they picked him up over the weekend, that he's not going to do jail time. But President Trump has a decision to make, right? So does he keep Acosta? Does Acosta slip down? You know, what happens? He really wants to keep his job. He was insisting that, again, they did the best they could do under the circumstances, because he said state authorities had planned to go after him with charges that would have resulted in no jail time. So if he hadn't done what they did, it would have been worse, and that's all they could do. And, you know, typically what we've seen with the Prez is he does give the cabinet secretaries the chance to defend themselves publicly, press conferences, interviews, whatever, before deciding whether he's going to pull the plug or not. And he certainly encouraged him to hold Wednesday's press conference, laying out what happened and all that sort of thing. But, you know, did he get some time? Does he buy time? Does he get pink slipped? You know, what happens here? Because you certainly have the Democratic presidential contenders, thus hail to the chief, who are calling for Acosta to resign or be fired. And he has been called to testify in front of the House Oversight Committee on July 23rd. So, you know, human trafficking, that kind of stuff. What is his record like? I don't know. He might not be there very long as Labor Secretary, but if you're in the cabinet, you serve at the pleasure of the president. It will be up to President Trump to decide whether he stays or whether he goes. I mean, that's the bottom line. And then here's another shoe that dropped. A judge in Maryland rejected a Department of Justice request to replace its legal team. This is kind of a crazy, wacky, I put my lawyers against your lawyers. But anyway, they rejected that request to replace the legal team in cases concerning the 2020 census It's the second time in 2 days a federal judge has put their foot down or gavel in the government's way in an attempt to bring in new lawyers. They said, this judge said anyway, that the government needed at least one withdrawing lawyer to remain on the case to help the new lawyers. And that they would need to provide detailed reasoning as to why they couldn't make that happen. The Justice Department was pushing Judge George Hazel to approve the new team and said that Attorney General William Barr had broad authority to assign lawyers and that a staffing change wouldn't affect the position of the case or the posture of it or any disruption, but that didn't float. I mean, remember, still we've got the consideration of an executive order to put the citizenship question on the census forms. What does that mean? I mean, will it lead to an undercount in Democratic-leaning areas with high immigrant population? I don't know. They argue back and forth about this as to will you really have people answer those questions correctly. But for now, no legal team switch. And they really were hoping that would happen. It didn't happen. No hail to the chief. In fact, no visit to the White House and no more conversation about an offer being extended. Instead, it was a parade in New York City for the U.S. women's soccer team that just won the World Cup. And then they jumped on a plane later in the day to go to L.A. So they get, what a day. In the last couple of days, you win the World Cup. You have everyone in the stands and everyone in the world screaming equal pay. Well, not everyone, but a lot of people. Then you come back to the United States to a hero's welcome. You crawl through the Canyon of Heroes in, you know, that goes all the way from Battery Park, if you're familiar with New York, all the way up to City Hall, to a million people out there in the streets. And then at night you win an ESPY Award for the best team. Yeah, that's a good couple of days, I would say. And it was a very good World Cup. And as an American, I'm very happy and proud that they won and that a lot of people paid attention from other parts of the world. And they were pretty envious because their teams went down. So there you go. It was a great moment. Now there's controversy. Of course, every day there's some other new controversy. But the equal pay thing seems to be the biggest, although Megan Rapinoe ignited people by some of her comments during that ticker tape parade at the end of it when they were at City Hall. She said a few things I thought that were pretty interesting that I thought were good, where she said, this is my charge to everyone. We have to do better. We have to love more, hate less. I'd agree with that. We got to listen more, talk less. Nah, I'm going to agree with that. In fact, I speak about influential listening. We got to know that this is not everyone's responsibility. Every single person here, every single person who is not here, every single person who doesn't want to be here, every single person who agrees and doesn't agree, it's our responsibility to make the world a better place. So how about that? Music means we're dipping out of this segment, and I'll meet you on the flip side.
Have you checked your Google search results lately? Search results are usually the first impression that people form of you or your business. So make sure that they create a positive impression with Reputation Defender. What the internet says about you can have a big impact on your life and your livelihood, even if it's not true. Fortunately, you can now control how you look online and in online search results with Reputation Defender. Call 800-831-0771 now. That's 800-831-0771 for your
free reputation analysis. If you have negative material from an ex-employee, upset patient, or former client, newspaper article, legal issue, social media, or other source showing up in your search results, you can combat it with Reputation Defender. Our dedicated experts in patented technology can help make your online search results look their best. Call 800-831-0771 to learn more. 800-831-0771. That's 800-831-0771.
Hello, I'm Mike Lindell, the inventor of My Pillow, and like all of you out there, I had problems sleeping. Pillows would go flat, I would flip-flop all night long, I would wake up with a sore neck, maybe a headache, or feel like I needed a nap even though I slept 8 hours. When I invented My Pillow, I wanted it to where you could move the patented fill to give you the exact support you need as an individual, regardless of sleep position. My Pillow will get you into that deep REM sleep faster, and you will stay there longer. It's not about how much time we spend in bed, it's about how much of that quality sleep we get. I do all of my own manufacturing right here in the United States. I have a 10-year warranty. You can wash and dry My Pillow, and I give you a 60-day money-back guarantee, so you have nothing to lose. And here's my best offer ever. You can buy one of my pillows and get one absolutely free.
Go to MyPillow.com or call 800-870-0305 and use promo code GCN. That's MyPillow.com or 800-870-0305 with promo code GCN.
Hi, this is Paul, otherwise known to the listeners as Mr. Kate Delaney. The missus has come up with an amazing solution to what plagues most of us, that nagging feeling you're meant to do something more. After more than a decade of her best interviews with world-class mentors and her own groundbreaking life experiences, Deal Your Own Destiny is finally here, presented to you by Forbes Books. Reading Kate's book is like sitting down with a trusted friend who has a lifetime of wisdom to share. Some of what you'll discover in this book includes learning how to play to your strengths, finding people who lift you up, and how to make the right moves to become extraordinary. No matter where you are on your journey, this book will give you inspiration and the tools you need to get to where you want to be, whatever that means to you. No one gets to decide the hand they're dealt in life, so become the dealer. Get Deal Your Own Destiny on Amazon.com or at booksellers near you.
Yes, indeed, it is about the numbers. We got numbers everywhere. Everywhere, I tell you. So let's dive into this, shall we? I'm telling you, look around. I'm serious. I'm not seeing things. I just see numbers. I see numbers everywhere. There should be a movie about that. Seriously, five armed Iranian boats warned rather off by warship accompanying a tanker. So these boats tried to seize a British oil tanker. Yikes. I saw some of the footage of this that was released. And I'm thinking, what in the heck's going on here? The British heritage tanker was sailing out of the Persian Gulf, crossing into, of course, the Money Strait, the Strait of Hormuz, when it was approached by the boats. The Iranians offered the tanker to change course and stop in nearby territorial waters. They had a video recorded of what happened. And the UK's Royal Navy frigate, the HMS Montrose, had been escorting the tanker from the rear, so it trained its deck guns on the Iranians and gave them a verbal warning to back away, and they did it. Otherwise, who knows what would have happened there. The UK Ministry of Defense said that contrary to international law, the three Iranian vessels attempting to impede the passage of a commercial vessel through the Strait of Hormuz is what happened there, and that breaks maritime security, and that was their role. That's what they have to do. Well, I'd say we have to strengthen maritime security in that area, right? Because this is going to happen again and again and again. I mean, what is our Secretary of Defense saying? What are the Joint Chiefs of Staff What's being said there? What does Dunford have to say? I'm sure they realize that they've got to get this together and the countries have to come together and they can't have this be the normal course of events because, as I said, it is the money straight and that's where you have to go through. And, of course, the Iranians know this and that's part of why there was that jostling there. That's what happened. This story is sad and yet has a little silver lining at the same time. By the time he was found, this 10-year-old boy was barely alive. His neck had been cut. He had a terrible wound. There was awful photos that were shown of him. He was in jeans. He had a U.S. football sweatshirt on, a light jacket. He was lying in the curve of his dead father's arm. They had been brutally attacked traveling across Veracruz in Mexico. And this is what happens to so many of the Central Americans who try to make that trek north to the U.S. Because guess what? Smugglers are taking them over. This is, again, part of the problem at the border, and so often it is not talked about. So here you have this young boy, his father, 37-year-old, left from Guatemala in May, at the end of May, and there were other people on the trip, just a small group. They hire a smuggler that takes him to the United States, but the smuggler says, you know, forget this. So they get abandoned in Mexico, and then they get kidnapped. The kidnappers were part of the Zetas drug cartel. They call the relatives in the United States. They demand like 12 grand. The family couldn't send the whole 12 grand, but they sent like 8. They don't hear back from the kidnappers. And then the father and the son are found on the side of a dirt road, left for dead. The man's throat was slit. The son was still breathing. Do we have a problem or do we have a problem? This is just one of the more horrific stories. And this one got a little bit of attention because it was, you know, it was played up all over the place. But how sad is this? Imagine that life. Imagine what those families went through. And this is the challenge. This is the challenge on the other side of, man, desperation to get out. Desperation that can cost them their lives with every last cent that they have, spending on the trust of the smugglers to get them in. And then what happens on the way and everything else. There has to be a better way, right? There has to be a better way. How about this one? A police officer used his taser on an NFL lineman. The player tried to tackle him. Oh, I saw the aftermath of that. Malik McDowell is pretty big, 6'6", about 300 pounds. He was a star defensive lineman in college and a top NFL draft pick just a couple of years ago. And he took on a police officer and his taser in a confrontation over a traffic violation. The reason this story is coming out now is, of course, the video of the scuffle was posted when TMZ found out who it was on TMZ Sports. And he stopped to get something. And then he got in a car, sped away, ran a red light, and was driving recklessly. And then that was what happened from there. It unfolded and with, you know, being tasered. And they have surveillance video from a police dash cam and a cam inside the Marathon gas station where the 23-year-old was confronted by a police officer. He talked to him for about a minute. Then McDowell comes out of his Jeep, goes in the store, cop grabs him by the arm, poof, the tasering happens, and the rest is history. And, of course, he had a blood alcohol level more than twice the legal limit. He stopped playing for the Seahawks after an all-terrain vehicle accident 2 years ago, so he's a free agent. He played in college at Michigan State University. I remember his name, but that's not good for him. When something like that happens, and obviously it had some drinks, and then it escalates from there. I love, let me say it again, that AT&T, if you have AT&T, I mean, all the letters are dreaded to me anymore when you talk about carriers and the hidden cost they fling on your bill. But AT&T is going to automatically block spam calls. Do you get those spam calls? Ugh, it's the worst. So they did announce they're going to become the first major U.S. wireless company to automatically block them. And it's a free service. It came on the heels of a June Federal Communications Commission ruling that allows phone service providers to offer call blocking as an opt-out, on an opt-out basis. So they've been pushing to have this adopted, and now that's going to happen. So they'll just block it. I mean, spam calls are an annoyance for anyone, right? But sometimes they're illegal scams. And sometimes they might be hard to detect, because guess what happens? You see the area code come up, and it's an area code you recognize it from someone you might know. 4.3 billion robocalls, legal and illegal, were placed last month. Wow. Does anyone even talk on the phone anymore? What are the chances of picking up the phone if you don't know the person? They certainly are not that good, I can tell you that, right? I don't think so. Knowing them, different story, right? You're not really apt to want to pick up that phone. No. All right, this is pretty interesting to me, and it could be a discussion for the man cave, but I'm going to throw it in here. Roger Federer and Rafael Nadal could clash at Wimbledon for the first time since the 2008 final. And if you think about it, some people say that is the greatest tennis match ever. I wonder if anyone in this audience, anyone listening to me, and if you are a tennis fan, I want to know, send me an email at katedelaneyradio.com. Click on contact. Because you might not care. You're saying, why is she talking about that? I'm talking about it for the numbers point of view. 2008, they clashed. It was an incredible match to watch. So guess what? Into the next round, they both go because Roger Federer wins and Rafa Nadal beats the American Sam Querrey. So this is going to happen, and lots of people are going to be watching that, that's for sure, because there's so much interest in seeing Federer and Nadal, let's put it that way, in the semifinals. Who prevails? And it's been a long time since that 2008 final. It's a very, very interesting match between the two of them. As I've seen both of them play a lot, I'm going to say, I don't know, Rafa Nadal just won a big one, the French. It's going to be interesting. Roger's better on grass, and you're saying, who cares? Hang with us. We're going to go to Ireland coming up next here on the show.
Jake was in big trouble with the IRS. He owed how much?
$92,000.
Ouch. The IRS left no room for Jake to breathe.
They put a lien on my house, took all the money out of my bank account, took money out of my paychecks. So it was a nightmare.
He needed help fast.
I figured that all these companies were the same until I called Federal Tax Management. You could just tell they knew what they were talking about. Right then and there, I felt like I had some hope.
Stop the liens, levies, and garnishments fast and qualify for one of several special IRS programs that could reduce or even eliminate your tax debt. So, how'd it go for Jake?
They did what they said they would do. They came through for me. I ended up saving an unbelievable amount. I was so jazzed. I was extremely happy.
If you owe more than $10,000 in back taxes, take Jake's advice.
Give Federal Tax Management a phone call. If they help me, they can help anybody.
Call the Federal Tax Management Hotline now. 800-503-8625. 800-503-8625. 800-503-8625.
Thank you for listening to GCN. Be sure to visit GCNlive.com today.
USA Radio News with Wendy King.
Labor Secretary Alex Acosta went on the offensive, defending the now scrutinized plea deal he arranged for Jeffrey Epstein in 2008. He said it kept the billionaire from walking free.
We did what we did because we wanted to see Epstein go to jail. He needed to go to jail.
Acosta maintains the charges brought by the state of Florida at the time would have meant no jail time. A former Palm Beach County state attorney is disputing that account. At the president's request, Acosta spoke for nearly an hour trying to convince reporters that his decision to steer Jeffrey Epstein's prosecution into state court was a safe play, even if he was only in jail for 13 months. Meanwhile, Jeffrey Epstein has pleaded not guilty to a new round of sex trafficking charges. This is USA Radio News.
Got an old car? You can donate it, whether it's running or not, to the United Breast Cancer Foundation and save a life. They'll even come and pick it up for free. The United Breast Cancer Foundation has saved hundreds of women's lives through their free or low-cost breast screen exams. But now they need your help. The United Breast Cancer Foundation wants to save more lives through early detection by offering women free or low-cost breast screening exams. And donating your old car, SUV, or truck, whether it's running or not, helps pay for them. Plus, you get a charitable tax deduction. Help the United Breast Cancer Foundation save lives by donating your old car, SUV, or truck. Call now for free pickup. 800-280-2144. 800-280-2144. 800-280-2144. Call right now. That number again is 800-280-2144.
The Genesis Communications Network is one of America's premier broadcasters of captivating talk radio. We thank you for listening. Now, just imagine, there are thousands of people who are just as passionate about radio as you are. But what you may not realize is how easy and affordable it is to advertise with us. Radio commercials for your business could be heard on hundreds of radio stations across the U.S. every day. We can help you by creating an effective radio advertising campaign for your company. From script writing to producing your commercial, just like the one you're listening to right now. No other network provides the level of customer service we do. When it comes to radio advertising, we are your one-stop shop. And no matter how big or small your business is, we can help. Email us at advertise@gcnlive.com and an experienced advertising executive will help you take the first step towards driving more customers to your business or website. advertise@gcnlive.com. Easy, affordable, effective.
Just thrilled to be here, really among the works of Seamus Heaney. And I think so many of you know who he is because I've talked about him on the air before when I've talked about my dad and poetry and what poetry has meant in my life. And I'm with his nephew, Brian McCormick. And Brian, we're seated in an area where you can see his works around us. And for you, what does that mean? What's that like?
It's obviously a very special experience. Seamus Heaney was synonymous with this area. Much of his work, in fact, over 50% of his work is based around approximately a 6-mile radius of where we're sitting today. So this area meant a great deal to him, and the people within this community meant a great deal to him. Also, his family members are still live here, his brothers and so on. So for me to be involved in a facility such as Home Place is an exceptionally emotional one, to be honest with you, but one that I take great pride in, obviously, to have someone such as Seamus Heaney within this community. And obviously I'm a family member as well. It's one that's extremely important to me and one that I'm delighted to be involved with.
So as you know, him, your relationship to him being your uncle, did you ever get to sit around and hear him recite his poetry? I mean, what was he like to be around?
Well, certainly in family occasions he didn't recite his own poetry. I don't think that would have he wouldn't have been that type of person to roll out his own work. He was much more interested in throwing out a few local limericks and so on about some of the characters within the area. But I didn't hear him read in an informal basis his own work. Now, I've obviously been to readings that he did, and to hear Seamus read his own work was a very, very powerful experience. And it's actually one of the main draws that we have within our exhibition, is that people can hear him read those works through your audio wands. And as people go around the exhibition, they have a chance to listen to the works related to each of the sections within that experience. And that's one that we have found people relating to most, to actually hear him read those works in a building dedicated to his life and his works, centred within the community that, as I said earlier, meant so much to him, is one that we have found a very emotional experience for people. We have regular laughs and tears. We actually joke here that tears are good for us, because it actually shows that people are really, really connecting with that amazing work. And I think that's the beauty of Seamus Heaney's work, is the fact that it is so accessible for everyone. People sometimes are under the impression that poetry can be quite highbrow and quite elitist, and it's something that we work very hard at here to ensure that that's not the case, that people from all walks of life and all interest levels can find a real deep connection with what we do.
I noticed that if you feel inspired and want to write a line or two, you can do that, and you also have a section for all the people listening to the show, where it's kind of a learning center, where you can, if you, like you say, there's this thing about being elitist, but it shows you, okay, this is what a poem is. This is how a poem can go. It can go this way or that way. And I think that's fascinating. So when the center was, I'll call it the center, when it was being laid out, was that one of the considerations? Let's make it so that people feel like they really understand poetry?
Yes, and that was very, very important for us. But we're also lucky that his work in itself allowed us a platform to do that, because that was one of the considerations that we had, that we always wanted the work to be at the core. Seamus Heaney himself was a man who didn't seek attention and didn't seek the limelight, but he wanted his work to speak for him, and that's something that we wanted to ensure was at the forefront of everything we did. But similarly, it was important for us to allow people an opportunity for that work to be broken down in a very approachable way. And as you rightly said, we have a few walls here, the anatomy of a poem wall, and that shows people the different aspects that poets use to actually develop that work. Another very interesting aspect of the exhibition is we have a replica of his attic study in Dublin, where he did a lot of his writing in his Sandymount home. And upstairs we have the Harvest Bow poem, and that shows people right from the first draft to the final draft, the work the poets undertake to actually get to that final draft. I think any of us, and I'm certainly unfortunately not a writer myself, but we're under the impression that people sit down of a Sunday morning and decide of that morning, I'm going to write a poem. That shows the visitor here that Seamus Heaney took a lot of time and effort to cultivate that poem, to make changes, to make drafts, and it shows that the efforts that those writers go into to ensure that their final work is something that they're proud of to be published. But again, we do that hopefully in a way that people can relate to.
Another thing that you do here too as well is you get to see the Nobel Prize speech, which is fascinating and I think really draws people in. Do you remember when he won the Nobel Prize?
I
would have been really young.
Yes, I would have been in my early 20s, I think it was, and as I'm sure you saw in the video, he was in Greece on a holiday with his wife Mary, and at that stage it was pre-mobile phones, and he was very difficult to reach, and I think he was one of the last people to find out that he actually had won. But finally, when the message had got through to him that he had won the Nobel Prize, as he says on the video that you just mentioned, he made a concerted effort to contact family members to share that moment with him. And I was actually very fortunate that when he phoned my home house, I happened to be there, and I was the person that picked up the phone to him There had been no one else at home. My mother, who was Seamus's sister, my mother happened not to be there, so I was the first person in my house to actually talk to him at that time. And that was obviously a very, very special moment for me, to try and indicate to him the excitement that we were all feeling at home. And it's one that I have to be honest, it still sticks with me to this day, to say that I was able to share that phone call with him. So yes, I do remember that vividly. And then there was a party, needless to say, in Ireland. There was a party locally here for him, which I was fortunate enough to attend. And we all shared in that moment, and the video shows that in fact the whole of Ireland shared in that moment with him, because he truly was someone that the Irish people really, really connected with, and that was a moment for the whole country, as it were.
Which is how the man was, right?
Yes.
He's accessible, just as it's accessible to walk around here and feel like you know him. That's why you get the tears and the emotion, and
yes,
that's a really good thing. Do you have a favorite poem of his?
I suppose my favorite poem, and it's actually the one that he recites at the end of the Nobel video, would be the Clearances 3, that starts out with the first line, "When all the others were away at Mass, I was all hers as we peeled potatoes." That would be that's my favourite. And I think the words in there are so evocative, and I'm sure we've all shared moments like that with our parents, and it brings you right back to that moment. And then he talks about, it moves on from that to when he shares final moments with his mother on her deathbed, and it's just, it paints pictures that I think that anybody would really, really connect with those words. So yeah, that would be my favorite.
That's lovely. In wrapping all of this up, though, as we bring it back to people listening and coming to Ireland, and I keep, as an Irish American, I keep telling people you really owe it to yourself to put it on your bucket list. And this is a great spot. It's beautiful areas, as you said. So much of this poetry was inspired in the 6 mile radius of this spot, so you could walk around and get that feeling. I think that he had, and I think that would be special.
Yeah.
But when people come here and they leave, what do you hope they take away?
I suppose first of all, we want them to take away an experience, and I think that's what we provide with people, a true, authentic experience. They have an opportunity to get a window into Irish life, and to do that via Seamus Heaney's poetry, as you said, a Nobel Prize winning poet, but one that everyone can relate to. And it gives people an insight into the importance of community to that man and the importance of this area. And we're actually developing, we hope to have them ready for next year, a series of literary trails where people can go out into those key spots where Heaney wrote about, such as Toner's Bog in the poem Digging, Church Island, the Forge at the Hill Head, the Eve Fisherade Tomb. So we're working on that at present to extend the reach of Home Place out into that beautiful landscape. But I suppose what we have found is that people find a real connection to this area when they do our exhibition and when they come into Home Place, and it's one that becomes a very personal experience, and it's one that I would encourage people to make the effort to come here, because I know, I understand I'm coming at it from a slightly biased position, but it's one that the reaction that we've had from visitors, and we've had visitors from all over the world, some 22 countries at this stage in the 2.5 years that we've been open, but one that people really, really connect with, and it becomes a very, very powerful and emotional experience, and it's one that I would certainly encourage your listeners to try to make time to come to visit us here in Ballaghy, South Derry.
Perfect place to end this. Brian McCormick, thank you so much.
The Hebo Tea Club's original pure Pau de Arco Super Tea comes from the only tree in the world that fungus does not grow on. So it naturally has antifungal, antiviral, antibacterial, anti-infection, anti-inflammation, and anti-parasite properties. But maybe more importantly, Dahebo Tea Club's original pure Powdiarco Super Tea builds corpuscles in the blood which carry oxygen to our organs and cells. Our organs and cells need oxygen to regenerate themselves. The immune system needs oxygen to develop, and cancer happens to die in oxygen. The tea is great for healthy people, and it can truly be miraculous for someone fighting a potentially life-threatening disease due to an infection, diabetes, or cancer. Dahebo Tea Club's original pure Powdiarco Super Tea is only $34.95 plus shipping. Order now at DrinkSuperTea.com or call 818-965-9113. That's DrinkSuperTea.com, 818-965-9113. DrinkSuperTea.com.
Most of you know that heart disease is the number one silent killer in the U.S. What if I told you for just $54.95 a month you could fight against heart disease naturally? At Heart and Body Extract, we've been helping thousands of people get back to a healthier heart. Don't just take my word for it. Check out all of the success stories at hbextract.com. Or to order, call 866-295-5305. That's 866-295-5305. hbextract.com. Don't risk it when you can take charge of it.
If you owe money to the IRS, you need to hear this. The IRS is cracking down on those who owe back taxes. It starts with a devastating letter, and if you don't act immediately, you could find yourself having your wages garnished or have a lien placed on your property. But there's a solution. Tax 10,000 can help. Avoid enforced compliance, where these holds on your income and seizure of your home could become a nightmare that just won't end. Call 800-239-9957 now and speak to one of our experts. 800-239-9957 is the number to link you directly to a tax resolution specialist who will negotiate with the IRS on your behalf. Working through the IRS Fresh Start program, all the forms will be handled for you. All you have to do is make the toll-free call. 800-239-9957. Find out if you qualify and possibly save yourself thousands of dollars, not to mention a lot of headaches. It could be the best call you've made today. That number again, 800-239-9957. The service does not provide tax settlement or legal services. We will refer you to a company that does provide such services. Often the IRS will not agree to any reduction in the amount owed. Not all taxpayers who owe more than $10,000 will qualify for a tax reduction program.
Fellow patriots, my name is Todd Savage, founder of BlackRifleRealEstate.com. Like you, I was a prisoner of the alt-left sanctuary state until one day I chose to lead my family to freedom. Today we live on a sustainable 20-acre homestead where we shoot, hunt, garden, and homeschool our children without the tyranny of the nanny state looking over us. If you're ready to flee the city to the freedom of Idaho or Montana, our Black Rifle Real Estate team is here to help. Go to BlackRifleRealEstate.com. That's BlackRifleRealEstate.com.
Just walk away, pretending everything's okay. And you,
I can't wait to introduce you to our next guest. He's in our virtual green room. His name is Roger Mitchell, and he's written such a great book. The conversation we had off the air was really powerful for me, and I've been thinking about it the last couple of days. And again, as I said, I'm excited to introduce you to him. And the book is called The King's Gift. Roger, thanks so much for joining us.
Well, I'm glad to be here. Thanks for having me.
So we talked about, your book, The King's Gift, and it's these insights. It's what's happened to you. It's what people aren't understanding. I think sometimes that happens to them. What made you write the book in the first place?
Well, that's a very interesting story. God's up to a lot of things. He surprised me. I never wrote a poem in my life. And one night I woke up about 2 a.m. I'm a good sleeper. I don't normally wake up at 2 a.m. I just felt like the Lord wanted to say something to me. So I got up sort of frustrated, and I'll be honest, a little bit impatient. I went downstairs and I lit a candle. I don't know why. And I just said, God, if you have something to say, say it to me. And I got this poem for my sister, and she struggles with MS. And it was a poem called Holding You, and it was all about God wanting to bless her. There was a condition that she just needed to listen, just listen to the Lord, you know. And it sort of shocked me because I never read a poem before, and it was amazing. I was like, man, this just came out of me, you know. So I was shocked and amazed. But then I kept getting more and more and more. And they were laying around on my desk, and I decided to put them in a book, and I called it The King's Gift.
And wow, and you, as you said about your sister, and again, more and more kept pouring out of you. And as you pulled it together, was it easy to kind of put it together and figure out, okay, how do I want this to flow? What was the flow process like for you?
Well, that was a struggle because some of them are pretty intense. Some have to do with getting saved and giving your heart to Christ. Some have to do with the nation of Israel. Some have to do with a commission where God is wanting to pull the body in Christ into helping the Jewish people and to be a friend with them. I'm connected with John Hagee. I'm the assistant city director for Kupai, Christians United for Israel. And he has over, I think it's about 6 million people now that are praying for Israel, giving to Israel. We do Nights to Honor Israel all over the nation. It's an incredible thing. And we just unconditionally love the Jewish people. We don't try to proselytize them. We believe if they see Christ in us, you know, they'll sort of be drawn.
Yeah.
Not that we want to lead them to Christ, but it was hard putting it all together. What is the essence of this book? And I finally just came to the revelation. It really all comes down to without Christ, you're not connected, you know. And so Christ is available to everybody. We call it being born again. And where you can receive his spirit into your life and you can just accelerate into God's will through Jesus Christ. So that's basically it. It's a book about being saved, and it's a book about helping the Jewish people come to know Christ.
And we're speaking with Roger Mitchell. The name of the book is The King's Gift. And you talked about, you know, different kinds of pieces. Some of them were heavier. And when we talked, I wanted you to do one for us. Will you do one?
I will. It's called New Dimensions. Vessels of Glory, where I do dwell. My sons and my daughters, please listen to my vibrating bell. It's my work inside you that I am doing, my kingdom believers. It's time. Who are you wooing? My son Jesus prayed, Abba, unite them as one. Greed, I responded, religion, politics, corruption, divides in the kingdom. My shaking is coming, so make us stand. Whoever abides in the vine creates safely in the land. From glory to glory, new dimensions to know. I get so much pleasure watching your identities flow. Time is marching forward to the prophetic finale. Make sure your hearts are ready and your beliefs are not in pathetic dark alleys. My word is strong and stable, your gift of trust. Sheeps and goats I now divide. This is a must. My plan almost complete from the beginning of time. The season is ripe. The harvest is mine. As I fulfill my promise to the Holy One, I'm raising a nation destined, umbrellaed, not done. I call my children to get on board. My blessings, my kingdom anointings were never meant to hoard. The nation, my love, restoring my pleasure, the nations are coming. Destruction, their measure. The promise I made to Abraham's seed, all nations have soon heard the gospel need. Repent, the kingdom of God is at hand. Look at Jesus, Ishmael. Accept his kingdom and stand. The witchcraft beat, Jezebel is a liar. Resist her influences or you'll be in hell's fire. I laugh at your plan, Ishmael. Jerusalem is my jewel. You'll soon find out I'm God, no fool. That's one out of about 40 I've gotten.
Wow, that's so well done. Bravo. I mean, just even you reciting it was pretty incredible, I have to say that. And so congratulations. Roger Mitchell, we're speaking with
him.
The name of his book is called The King's Gift. What do you think when you know, it's funny you said it, that God's available and you talked about, okay, you lit the candle and, you know, I want to hear, go ahead, tell me what you want to tell me. Do you think that it seems like there's people, and I don't have statistics on this because they vary, but, you know, there's people who don't believe, there's people who
have trouble when something happens. What do you tell those people?
About trying to connect with God?
Yeah.
Well, I believe no matter what we struggle with in life, and there's a lot of things to struggle with, that God is always trying to reach his creation. I call him the greatest lover ever known. I mean, if you think about it, he sent his son, put him on a cross to redeem us. The truth is God sort of lost his creation for a while. If you think about it, he suffered great pain. He sent his son and redeemed us. And so no matter what we struggle with, God is always trying to reach us with a blessing. That I'm very confident in. So if you want to know him, if you're asking, asking is a very humble thing, and I think that's required to create a connection. So just ask God to come in your life, show you his plan, and I believe he'll do that.
I like that for people that are listening. And again, Roger Mitchell's book is called The King's Gift, and we talked about the flow and talked about the meaning and putting it together. What do you hope ultimately people walk away with when they read this book?
Well, I hope they understand that God is real and we are created. We just did not evolve from some chance, that there's a purpose in life and God loves us and he just loves us. And, if we'll trust in him and pick up his word, there's so many blessings in the word. That's what I hope people come away with, that. So we look at the world and we look at the politics and we look at everything. We look at the evil, people hurting each other, destroying each other. There's still a lot of good that goes on, but that's what we see. And God is in charge. God is in control. And God is going to have the final say. So what I hope people get is that they reach out to the Father and they make a connection with him. I mean, I don't know what else to say about that.
Yeah, no, that's very well put. So for your next act, will you do another book, Roger? Are you thinking of doing another one?
You know, I am thinking about revising this one now because I sort of threw this together so the poems didn't lay around. I felt like God said to me one day, and a lot of times he just talks to me through a strong feeling or an urgency or a thought will come to my mind that I didn't generate, you know. And I just felt like he said, Roger, they're just laying around. I didn't give you these. Just let them lay around. So finally I put them together. But I feel like I need to revise it a little bit and organize it a little bit better. It's basically a book of poems with a lot of messages on the inside of it and in the poems. So it is really neat.
Right, I love that. So it just may be that that happens. There's something new that comes up. You put something new in it, or you just revise one or two of them or whatnot. But right now, as it is, it's terrific. So for anybody out there listening, of course, Roger Mitchell's book is called The King's Gift. Pick it up. Roger, thank you so much for speaking with us today.
Okay. Thanks a lot for having me. God bless.
Thanks. You too.
Hi, this is Paul, otherwise known to the listeners as Mr. Kate Delaney. The missus has come up with an amazing solution to what plagues most of us, that nagging feeling you're meant to do something more. After more than a decade of her best interviews with world-class mentors and her own groundbreaking life experiences, Deal Your Own Destiny is finally here, presented to you by Forbes Books. Reading Kate's book is like sitting down with a trusted friend who has a lifetime of wisdom to share. Some of what you'll discover in this book includes learning how to play to your strengths, finding people who lift you up, and how to make the right moves to become extraordinary. No matter where you are on your journey, this book will give you inspiration and the tools you need to get to where you want to be, whatever that means to you. No one gets to decide the hand they're dealt in life, so become the dealer. Get Deal Your Own Destiny on Amazon.com or at booksellers near you.